podcast.
And I thought that network. Maybe because it was a hip hop base for all of the
Hi,
music
everyone,
that you might not like
Lori,
it.
This is Lori, and welcome to a brand new smackin' episode of Casual Geeking. This week you have Geek Kev and Andrew with you tonight, as well as yours truly. Tonight I think we're going to go ahead and pick a topic that is kind of near and dear to the three of us, which is musicals.
Yeah.
We don't have Deering here to kind of manly man us up. And since he knows nothing about musicals, I'm going to pick a girlier topic because it's something me, Andrew, and Geek have all kind of geek out about.
And especially
since Hamilton just dropped on Disney Plus, and me and Geek have been kind of salivating over that fact.
I wish that I had known prior that this would be the topic, and I would have actually watched Hamilton.
Oh.
Yeah, I only watched it yesterday, and believe it or not, Paul was the one that it dropped while we were in Orlando. And Paul is like, Hamilton dropped. And Paul doesn't like musicals. But Paul's been hearing about Hamilton enough to where he's kind of got Paul was curious. And we're in Orlando. I'm like, yeah, I know it's going to drop while we're in Orlando. And he goes, when we get home, we need to watch it. Monday night rolls around, and I am sore, I am tired, and I already have plans with Geek Kev. Hamilton's not happening on Monday. Period.
Mm.
We walked a grand total of like 24 miles on Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a fun time.
It was a blast. As you saw in the pictures and as our viewers saw, I had an amazing time and it was a blast. Universal did a great job keeping us safe. I cannot say that enough. They are doing a great job of keeping their customers and their pass holders safe and keeping everyone safe.
Sounds good.
The people that go to their park safe. If you do get caught in a rainstorm, however, go immediately to a bathroom and wash your hands. Because they put sanitizer on your hands as soon as you ride every ride, you forget hand sanitizer residue, and to quote Paul, it will feel like you fisted a Wookiee.
Ew.
So you get all this slime hand sanitizer residue that resurfaces on your hands, so your hands get super slimy. Like, all over again. So you're sitting there going, oh god.
He slimed me.
So, because that's what happened when we got caught in a rainstorm, we're trying to eat our burgers in the rain. But anyways, Paul was like, we need to watch Hamilton, so we watched it last night. And I have a very trained ear. I have a very, very trained ear. I have perfect hearing. And as Geek Kev will tell you guys, if I hear bad music, it's just bad. There's no redeeming it. I will sit there and immediately tell you, and you will hear, you will see it in my face. Like, we were watching, who was that girl that you had me listen to the Phantom of the Opera cover of, Geek Kev?
I can't think of her name right now.
I think it was like Hailstrom or something like that.
No. Spoiler alert for history.
But there was a punk rocker who did a cover. It was this very famous singer of a major rock band cover singer who did a cover of Phantom of the Opera. And I'm sitting there listening to it in the car with him, and my facial expression, he goes, ooh, you don't like this at all, do you? I said, nope.
Yeah.
I'm popping the beat as I do, and he goes, what's wrong with it? I said, she's not got enough brisado. She's definitely not hitting the note. She's not going high enough on the C, and she's not going low enough on the A.
Christina V?
No.
Okay.
Hold on, I'll...
But she was just not going... She wasn't going... The notes she was hitting were not in the right way. She was not hitting them in the right punctual way. It was like she knew all the right... She knew the punctuation to the paragraph. She just wasn't putting it in the right order. And I'm sitting here going, there's no breathiness. She was in in Phantom of the Opera, in the song that she sang, there's like a breathiness quality because she's supposed to be exasperated. She's supposed to be, the song, Christine's supposed to be upset. She's supposed to be very emotional. It's a very emotional song. She played it straight. There was no acted, there was no breathy quality to it. She just sounded like she was singing Kumbaya.
Which makes me think of a another musical I haven't watched yet that you have repeatedly told me to watch.
Which is?
Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, oh. I own it, but you need to watch the Tim Minchin version that okay. I own. Or you need to get Broadway HD On Demand, which is an Amazon channel. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic. You will get to watch.
Sorry, not sorry.
This is how I'm giving Geek Kevin musical education.
Yeah.
There are a couple core musicals that I have absolutely said that make up a really good, well-rounded musical education, and it lets you get a good feel for a little bit of everything. South Pacific is a good one. It's not exactly my favorite, but it's a good one. Mm-hmm. It definitely gives you, it's one of the classics where it's almost like watching Casablanca. It's one of those movies that you can't really claim to love old Hollywood unless you've seen it. You can't really claim to love musicals unless you've seen South Pacific.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
Guys and Dolls, but you have to watch the Frank Sinatra version.
Of course.
I own it if you want to borrow it, by the way.
Okay.
I love that. Especially since for me, I have like a very, I guess, an emotional tie to it because my older sister played the general from Guys and Dolls when she did her early college production of it. And I remember watching her do it, and she played the general, which is a very big character. It's not really a big character, it's a minor character, but it is a titled character.
Mm-hmm.
As with any show, you do have a lot of untitled extras.
Of course.
And I remember watching my sister after the show, walking up to her and grabbing her by the elbow. I said, "So, how much of that were you imitating Mama on a grander scale?" Because our grandmother was a Southern Baptist preacher's wife. So she was very much imitating our grandmother, just on a grander, on an exaggerated scale. So she's like, "Don't tell anybody." Yes, it was Mamaw. And I can tell, I can say this now because it's been like 15, 20 years.
That sounds like a nice tribute to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It is.
It blew my mind.
And that's like one of my favorite memories of growing up with my older sister's drama career when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. That and seeing her play Titania. For Midsummer's Night's Dream. My older sister got an 8-octave vocal range.
Okay.
She has an astounding voice.
Mm-hmm.
Very gifted singer. She can sing Amazing Grace to the point where you are on your knees ready to pray to God himself. And it's like a call to alms. And so she's got a very, very beautiful voice. She could have, if she hadn't decided being a mom was more important, she probably could have gone on to be an opera singer herself. She wanted to be a mom more than she wanted to be an opera singer.
We can make a party out of it because it's definitely got rewatchability for me.
Guys and Dolls. Guys and Dolls is definitely one of the ones you have to see. Oklahoma, the Hugh Jackman version.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites. Oklahoma's got a very special place in my heart as well because it was the first musical I ever saw.
Isn't that the point? That's why we're here.
I was like 7 years old.
Yes.
As you were saying, Andrew, sorry.
I was just going to say that it seems like she's got her head in the right place, thinking that being a mother is incredibly important, at least to me, that seems like a very logical and sound decision.
Well, when she found out, she had my oldest nephew fairly young, and when she found out Connor was on the way, that's all that mattered to her. And then after that, her whole world was devoted to being a mom. And she's one of the most phenomenal mothers on the planet to me. So
that's good.
I mean, she's raising her kids right. My youngest nieces are very politically. While I don't understand some of her politics, I do support the fact that she is raising very civic-minded children.
That's always good.
My youngest nieces are very much involved with their mom when they go out to protest and wanting to be involved in making the world a better place.
I like it.
But circling back to musicals, another good, your favorite is Chicago. So
I do really enjoy Chicago.
There is a version with Peter Gallagher.
Really?
On the Broadway HD channel. And Peter Gallagher is one of those legends of Broadway that he's actually just a legend of TV and film. But I see him more. He was, a lot of people see him in a lot of different things. He was the dad on OC, on the OC. He was also Cher's defunct husband in Burlesque.
Yes.
But he's got this amazing singing voice that not a lot of people know about.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a version of Guys and Dolls.
I did not know that.
And I think he also did a version, I think there's also a version of Chicago with him on there. He's a Broadway legend.
Yeah.
Bye Bye Birdies is another one that you have to watch.
Bye Bye Birdie is so amazing.
It is. We've already covered Jesus Christ Superstar. I like the Tim Minchin version just because he is very much devoted to that Judas character.
Yeah. A very passionate performer and very accomplished vocalist.
He is, and the way you can hear him stretch, you can hear the notes when he stretches.
Oh, this is the goth girl?
I like to hear, I'm really keen on hearing vocalists when you can tell them they are hitting when they are using their full range.
Yeah.
I want to see you push, it's like seeing an athlete go the distance. I want to see your vocal cords being pushed their limits. If I don't think you're I know you can hit the mid range. I want to hear you hit the highs. So, that's why I love Brandon Urie so much.
There are not enough crayons.
I don't know the name of the actor, but how do I forget his name?
Yo.
But anyway, the main character from Little Shop of Horrors, the newer one, you can definitely hear him hitting those extremes with a lot of emotion during the song.
I mean, the first thing I have to bring out would be
when he's singing
Les Mis, because I got the opportunity to see Les Mis. That would be Rick Moranis.
Is that Rick Moranis?
As well as Cats.
Yes, it is. Rick Moranis is in a very good singer.
See, I love Cats.
And
not known as a singer.
No, he is not. Rick Moranis is actually one of those guys where I love him as a person and I love him as an actor because...
But you'll watch Toothless play with a ball of string on a white background for 4 hours straight.
He's only jumped out saying, okay, the kids are grown, I can go back to doing anyway, taking care of me and doing what I love now again.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are grown, I can go back to doing my thing.
I was a huge fan of Les Mis. I'm still a huge fan, but
he did what parents should do, which
experiencing more musicals recently.
Which is why I decided not to have kids, because I know right off the bat,
it's definitely evolved.
I can't do that. No.
First time
too much,
seeing Phantom
it's horrible
was pretty
to say,
awesome.
But at least I know it before I have kids.
Mm-hmm. Which hasn't been that.
I am a fantastic auntie. I
wasn't a huge fan of Love Never Dies.
I'm a very devoted
it didn't...
auntie to 12.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. With this past 4th of July, Natasha and I went to a friend of ours' house for the celebration, and there were kids there, and they're like, oh, Natasha was very much
while
cool
I agree with
character.
That I didn't
yeah.
get
and I was much more
stern
making sure the kids
and desperation
and
from Love Never Dies
for
as
whatever
I did
reason
from
I continued to be put in charge of the kids.
See, it's a good balance, though.
I'm both. I am. My nephews will tell you, because most of my sisters have mostly boys.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 3 girls in the mix. Well, now I actually have a little bit more girls because I'm about to inherit my Paul's nieces.
Mm-hmm.
But they're learning. I am your best friend until you cross the line where I have to be the disciplinarian, and I don't like being that person.
Yeah,
I wanted to be funny. Sorry, Kev.
Yeah, I got it.
I want to be funny and Ori.
Big fan.
I want to be funny and Ori, but I also have to keep it safe, and I have to make sure your well-being is first. Your well-being goes first. And as long as your well-being is taken care of, I can be funny and Ori. But the moment you start being a jackass, I have to start being that evil person I don't want to be. Which is the disciplinarian, and I have to start counting to 3.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing, is that a lot of the people at the party are like, how can you guys not have kids yet? I mean, like, you seem like such great combination for parents. And they realize very little that as parents, we'd probably be the opposites of what we were there.
I don't know. Yes, definitely. As a parent, I think the two of you would bring a good balance.
Yeah.
I think me and Paul have talked about it. We both understand the fact that as parents, I would probably end up taking... Paul and I both know. Paul would definitely want to be the disciplinarian. Paul hates being the disciplinarian. He hates being the killer of fun. But he also knows how to be the disciplinarian when he needs to be. Because he's had to be that. He's always had to step in and tell me no a lot. Because occasionally I get a wild hair up my ass and decide to do stupid shit. Like spend $58 on French pastries at Downtown Disney.
So, yeah.
We definitely co-sign for each other with buying food we don't need.
Yeah. So
as far as parents go, I mean, like, my dad was very much supportive of me going into musical choir and show choir and musicals and such, to the point that he sat me down and he's like, here's a guy you need to emulate if you want to become someone that does musicals. And showed me NPH in Dr. Horrible.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah. Have you seen him in Kinky Boots? Oh my god.
No, I have not.
I think it's on Broadway HD. Also,
yes,
you need to see him in... It's something in the I forget what it's called, but it's in the Angry Inch.
Hedwig?
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I think it'd be very interesting to see him play the general in the Pirates of Panache. The major general, my apologies.
Oh, yes.
I feel like he could pull it off.
I honestly would love to see him play in Book of Mormon just because I think it'd be hilarious. That's another one. Paul's never, because it isn't available because right now, because unfortunately
yes, being the answer is always Patrick Stewart.
any musicals we get our dirty little paws on basically have to come through either Amazon or
you know who should have a Tony
or some other medium. Paul has fallen in love because I had on... What happened was, I usually listen to YouTube a lot.
Working on crafts. You know who also should have a Tony?
Came in there and
Grant.
Just so happened,
Grant Gustin.
Book of Mormon video popped up on the stream. And the I Believe song from Book of Mormon came on, and Paul fell in love with songs from the Book of Mormon. So now Paul actually really wants to see Book of Mormon. I am slowly but surely getting him interested in musicals. I am spoon-feeding him ones that are in his genre in hopes that he will eventually want to get into the ones I like.
Do you think he'd enjoy Repo?
He loved Repo.
Repo is awesome.
We had Repo before we got together. We have two copies of it at my house. Because I had a copy when we got together, and he had a copy before we got together.
Controversial take on it. I do not enjoy Repo. I didn't. I like the storyline. I like the characters. It's just the writing seemed off to me.
If you didn't like Repo, you may have... There's another one that he did,
Justin Timberlake,
the same writer did, that I really liked. It's called The Devil's Carnival. That is available on Amazon Prime. It kind of feels partially finished, but it is pretty good. It doesn't feel like they were able to quite finish it before they put it on Amazon. But it is still pretty good for what it is. That is a really good one. I love the guy, and that's Terrence. I think his name's Terrence Howard, No, that's not Terrence Howard. It's Terrence something. It's the guy who played the Grave Robber. He's the director and the writer of Repo, and he also did The Devil's Carnival, and a few others.
I know you've brought up Devil's Carnival before. You said where I can find that?
Amazon Prime.
Got it.
If it's still there. I'm also a really big fan of random musicals that you really don't know about that you can find on Amazon or you can find on YouTube. I've been listening to the music of Wicked for like the longest time, and Wicked you can't really watch anywhere, but there is a rumor circulating that they did film a live version of it, much like they did Hamilton, and that they are eventually going to actually bring it to us. So you'll eventually be able to watch Wicked in your own home.
I wanted to talk about the newsies. I didn't even realize that Hamilton was a Disney IP.
Yeah. Also, it is... One of the cool things about the Hamilton thing is that is OBC cast.
Right.
So, and that was something I found really cool about the Hamilton show, because I'm looking at it, I'm like... Paul's like, oh, cool, this is before the Rona. And I'm sitting here going, Paul's like, that's what Paul thought. And I'm sitting here going, my brain's going, screw this. This is OBC cast. Because that's my musical junkie thing going, this is original Broadway. That's Lin-Manuel. And... Paul's sitting there going, and he's watching my eyes bug out, and he goes, you have the hots for him, don't you? Uh-huh. He goes, you have a thing for the guy who plays Hamilton, don't you? Uh-huh.
Wow.
I have a deep, deep thing for Lin-Manuel, man. Oh my god, if you are listening, my man, you are a god among men for the music you write. Oh my god, and the voice on that man. Oh.
I wasn't aware of that. The musical
genius within Lin-Manuel. Oh my god. I am a fangirl supreme of his.
Are you done?
No.
You know, I don't know why, and looking at Lin-Manuel makes me think of Othello.
Also, he did Mary Poppins Returns.
Okay.
So, if you need your Lin-Manuel fix, he did Mary Poppins Returns. He also did an episode of SNL, which was really funny, and they did like a... there was like one of my favorite SNL skits involves him. Where it's like they're doing like a flat, hey, this is a 1944 movie on AMC, and here's a clip of it. Really? And it's like the death scene, and it's one of the soldier. I forget. It's one of my favorite guys on SNL. Anyways, and the guy's dying, and he's like,
as a New Yorker, I'm a big fan.
You need to go home. Promise me when you go home, you'll go home and hide, and before my girl can find it. You'll hide it. I got it in France. He goes, well, yes, of course. And Lin-Manuel's, of course, I'll go home and find. What do you need me to hide? Get rid of, soldier. He goes, my butt plug.
In the...
And it's just this hilarious little scene where this guy's like making Lin-Manuel promise to get rid of all this horrible stuff.
Oh, that narrows it down.
like, don't be surprised, it's a little bigger. I was being ambitious. And my jazz music, and my jazz music,
making shots in the dark.
Unless you think it's good, put it out there. And he's like,
no.
Are you sure?
Nobody.
Are you sure you don't want to just let people think? He's like, it's really, really bad. Like, da 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 da. Hey, tuna. And I cannot say enough about him. I am a total fangirl for his. He could write another show right now about Hitler, and I would go, okay, where are the tickets on sale?
It's time for Hitler and Germany.
Yep. The now. Producers, that's another musical that we all know and love.
Oh, yes.
I loved, that also has another one of our favorite actors, John Barrowman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He is another musical legend.
Yes.
He's another legend.
He's one of my crushes.
John Barrowman. He is another geek legend. He's actually one of our Casual Geeking's dream guests for when we hit the big time. When we get big enough for people to actually give a shit about what we talk about on here beyond the small time. We love you guys, but we know right now nobody beyond just our lovely geeks and maybe our families give a shit about what we talk about here. Nobody actually that makes more than $20 a day is going to give a shit about what we talk about here.
Though we are reaching people all over the world, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. We are seeing, we have fans in Japan now?
Yeah.
We
listeners,
love you.
Anyway.
We have listeners in Japan. We have some in Spain, the UK.
We have some in Ireland now. Ooh, I also saw Miss Saigon on Broadway.
Welcome.
I don't remember that one.
If you guys would like to hear, you guys should totally hit us up on the Facebook page, which, by the way, I know we haven't talked about it. We do have a Facebook page for Casual Geeking and Coda. It is Coda Geekery, Inc., and that is on Facebook. Once again, that is K-O-D-A Geekery.
Incorporated.
Inc., I-N-C. We'll try and get that added to all of our pages for Spotify and stuff here in the near future, so you guys can actually find us on Facebook a little bit easier, so you guys can stay up, because we do post on Facebook a lot, and we do live stream pretty regularly.
So if you want to drop in on one of those and say hey to whoever's live streaming that week, because the live streams are basically like one-on-ones.
Yeah.
It's one of us talking to whoever decides to drop by.
We like to be really interactive with you guys. We like to at least pop in a lot. We most of us work full time. Mm-hmm. Like I work for an airport. I work at my local airport. I am usually 90% of the time bouncing around much like a bouncy ball. I am going 90 miles an hour. I literally flew home because I got a call saying, don't forget, you can't do overtime tonight. You have to go home and record. Yes, right. Have to go record. And then rushed home so I could come be with you guys. And then
Andrew did the smart thing and straight up told his employers, hey, I can't work this day when they employed me.
Currently, because of the Rona, more people would rather draw unemployment than work right
more
now.
More opportunity.
So the airport is supremely understaffed. Yeah, both of my supervisors were in the restaurant at our airport today rather than actually on the floor.
Oh, wow.
So I ran essentially two gates by myself. I basically bounced around. All the stores open at one time. Basically, if you didn't have a flight going out at that gate, you did not have a store open at that gate.
How do you get
your
the cold
store
brew
was open?
No fake news, Ori.
Cold brew stays open at Dunkin'. Do Dunkin' wasn't open today because the girl who was supposed to bake the donuts had to have minor surgery last night. Minor emergency surgery last night.
Oh,
so
wow.
Pre-secured didn't open last night today.
You are short for staff.
Yeah, we have one person.
I'm ready to go.
You know what the world
I'm
needs?
I'm ready to go. The world needs a Spider-Man musical.
You need to do it again. He's probably lost your application.
Really?
I literally, like, come in tomorrow. Do you want to? If you snag me tomorrow,
really?
We will turn something in. I will come pick me up from pre-security tomorrow.
Okay, we'll do.
And I will get you the application because I know where we keep them.
But
I will put it directly on my boss's desk without fail, with a big post saying, "Ori says hire him now."
I know that it was burning a hole in your pockets before this started, and I just wanted to
all of bring these something in that I could talk about. Musicals,
what
but,
are
yeah.
your opinions on Hamilton, Ori?
I remember
it
The
is,
Lion King.
Oh my god, it is... Okay, again, I have a very, very trained ear. And when it's bad, it's bad.
Is
and
it really?
When it's good, it's orgasmic. And I literally sat there... And I just listened and
Excellent.
I watched. And I have a hard, because I'm a writer, sometimes I have a hard time connecting with characters unless I'm reading them. Oh my god, it hit me in the feels. I got hit in the feels so much. There were I don't do that. Like I've become so desensitized to so many things. It's not very often that I get hit in the feels. Like, there were moments where I'm sitting there going, oh my god,
Later.
I'm going to cry, I've got the warm fuzzies, I'm getting the chills, I'm getting the feels. And then the music would hit me, and I would be, and it's history!
Yeah.
I would come with a triple whammy, because it's music, it's history, it's a good story, and I'm just sitting there, and I am in this warm bubble of happy. And my fiancé has to remind me that there are assholes in the world, and people want to destroy, and people are pissed off at Alexander Hamilton possibly having sold slaves at some point in history. And my bubble got briefly popped until I yelled at him and say, "Fuck off! You're ruining my bubble." But it was an amazing, sensational thing, and I'm probably going to be rewatching it like 15 times. Just so I can re-feel the warm, fuzzy bubble feeling.
I'll be honest, I wasn't sure that you were going to like it because I didn't know about your connection with that one actor who played Hamilton. I thought that maybe because it was
first,
a hip-hop base
honestly,
for all of the music that you might not
it
like it.
Mixed in with the regular singing. I got really into it. The storytelling took over the fact of the hip-hop-ness, and then, honestly, I fell in love with George Washington. George Washington, one, beautiful man. Two, amazing actor. I believed he was George Washington. He was just such a dynamic actor.
Yeah.
And, oh my god, Jefferson? On point.
Yeah.
Jefferson is a renowned fop in history. Historically, with the exception of the colorblind casting, because we all know Jefferson was historically, while he is played by a black man in the show, he was in fact white. But for the rest of it, yeah, totally on point. He was renowned for being a very Parisian aficionado. He loved all things Parisian. He was a whore. He was very much a fop. He was very much, I am debutante. I'm going to be willy-nilly. He's very poppy and very aggressive about the things he believed in. And he butt heads with Alexander Hamilton to such a degree that they hated each other. They almost hated each other. But it was to that same degree, but on that same level. And this is one of the reasons why I loved Hamilton so much, the fact that Hamilton did Lin-Manuel did the history on it. He kept it as historically accurate as he could while keeping the drama. Alexander Burr, Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton were friends, but they were frenemies. They had a love-hate relationship. Hamilton very much respected Burr, but disliked his wishy-washiness. Hamilton believed that if you were going to stand for something, you stand for it, and you stand for it passionately. You don't wait around. You kick ass and you take names and you go forward into the fray. You don't wait to find out an outcome. You stand for what you believe in or you will fall for anything. Burr had the mindset of, I'm going to stand here, I'm going to wait and see which way the tide's going to turn a little bit. I'm going to wait and find out which way the wind's blowing before I go headlong in the fray. Sometimes that's a great tactic, but if you in the revolutionary state that we were in, it definitely made him seem very wishy-washy and very much like he could have been a Tory sympathizer. Which is what he ended up, you know, very much a lot of appearances. Historically, there was a lot of controversy surrounding Aaron Burr in the early beginnings that he may have been a Tory sympathizer. Especially since he ended up ultimately betting and begetting a daughter by the wife of a former British captain or some shit. Anyways, so that was a major issue Alexander Hamilton had with Aaron Burr was the fact he was so wishy-washy, and it ultimately pissed Alexander Hamilton off to the where which is what ultimately led to Alexander Hamilton's death, because they had the duel. They have this duel. Spoiler alert for the end of Hamilton.
That everybody in that play is dead now?
Yeah, spoiler alert for history. If you didn't know, Hamilton's going to end in the movie spoiler in the alert Broadway for show based upon Alexander Hamilton's life. Spoiler alert. Aaron Burr was very much... I know, right?
Yeah.
So you have Jefferson, Thomas Jefferson, and then you have Hamilton, and you have Burr. And Jefferson didn't really like Burr, Hamilton, but Hamilton didn't really like Jefferson. But again, Hamilton at least respected Jefferson, because at least he stood for the stuff he believed in. He stood for it abundantly and passionately.
Yeah.
And that's where the major quote, and this is one of my favorite quotes from both the show and history. At least Jefferson believes in something. I will vote, my vote is with Jefferson because he stands for something. Alexander Burr stands for nothing. Which is what caused the duel and what ultimately caused Hamilton his life. Because he decided not to fire. He decided not to duel. He was going to do, and back in those times, if you decided to end a duel gracefully, as in, I'm going to duel you, but I don't want to actually hurt you. I'm not doing this with the intent to kill. I am doing it the attempt to soothe your honor, as in, you were pissed off. I'm going to duel you just so you will shut the fuck up about your dishonorment. It is basically saying sorry in this day and age on a text when you really don't fucking mean it. Sorry, not sorry. That's...
Sorry, not sorry.
You can't really do that in a text. Or in a duel. But if you wanted to duel some... Back in the day, if you wanted to duel somebody and you really need... If ultimately you could not come to a reasonable conclusion in a duel and your seconds couldn't negotiate you out
this
of the duel...
This is a failure of communication.
You would fire directly up in the air. That is your way of both party... You would aim at the sky as your way of hopefully ending the duel amicably with no one getting hurt. And you just kind of hope to God the other guy had the same intention. This is not the case. Aaron Burr, the way it's written and the way history records it, Aaron Burr assumed that Alexander Hamilton had the intent to kill him, because Alexander Hamilton had on his glasses. And this is what's recorded in the show, and this is one of the reasons why I love the show so much, because it includes facts from Aaron's personal journals. Aaron Burr assumed that Alexander Hamilton had the intent to kill him because of three very distinct reasons. One, Alexander Hamilton is a distinguished combat fighter and and tactician. Two, Alexander Hamilton had on his eyeglasses, meaning he had every by Emperor's estimation, he had every intent to fire his gun and being able to see his target. Three, Aaron Burr was not taking any fucking chances because he knew he couldn't shoot to save his fucking life. And it is recorded that Aaron Burr has acknowledged that he is a horrible shot. And that he shot before the final count. He shot at 9. So, but yeah. Again, that is one of the reasons why I love this show, is because, again, he got so much of the history into the show. And, and at the very end with Eliza and telling her what happened to her, so you actually know what happens to Eliza Hamilton and how much good she did after his passing. And it's just this phenomenal story, and you get to see them come together, and the love, and the wah, and the ha, and I don't want to spoil any more for you, Andrew. You just need to watch it. I'm gonna totally rewatch it tomorrow when I get off work, because Paul is not gonna be home until 7. Unless I decide to say so. Yeah, I'm watching it tomorrow. So after Geek Kev gets his application,
we can make a party out of it, because it's definitely got rewatchability for me.
Yes. So yeah. Again, and oh, another great skipping off Hamilton a little bit. Because I've kind of geeked out a little bit on that one. A lot. Yeah, I know. But I want to geek out about all musicals. Isn't that the point?
That's why we're
mean
here.
Girls. They actually turned Mean Girls into a musical.
Yes.
A lot of you guys have heard the fact. A lot. It's been hinted at, and I know it's been blatantly obvious at sometimes. My real name is probably not Ori. This is a pseudonym. It is actually streaming from one of my favorite D&D characters I created. And she is a 17-year-old dragonborn. The way I got into Oriana's headspace is by listening to a song called Apex Predator from the musical Mean Girls. Apex Predator is one of my favorite songs from that show. It is also one of the other ones is called I'd Rather Be Me. That show just has so many awesome songs in it about girl power and just awesomeness. I think one of my favorite lines from Apex Predator is, she is not playing dolls, she is not she is stalking the halls, she is the Apex Predators. It's just this very much song about how the main character, Katie, is wondering what's going to happen when Regina finally figures out that she's not the prey anymore, she's actually a predator herself. And also that it's like a song that kind of continues over the course. It feels like it takes place over the course of the musical. Because in the beginning of the song, Katie's talking about how it's nice to be with the Apex Predator. She's with Regina George. She's not the prey. She's the one that's not being hunted. She's hiding behind Regina's shadow, trying to stay safe. And then ultimately towards the end of the song, Katie's kind of coming out saying she's not just the prey anymore. She's becoming the predator. So it's one of those coming of herself songs. And the other one is I'd Rather Be Me, which is the song that Janice sings explaining to Katie how, fuck your expectations. I don't want to be what you guys think I should be. I'd rather be me. Yeah. And it's literally a song. Oh, this about, is the goth girl giving the world your yeah. giving the world a finger.
So Kev.
And again, I have an audiographic memory. I know so one of the line, my favorite lines in that song.
You're still getting your education on musical theater.
I could try and be nice.
What would you say nice is a standout musical IQ. In your opinion?
Exactly.
There are not enough crayons. Yo. Well, I mean, the first thing I have to bring out would be Les yeah. Mis, because I got the opportunity to see Les Mis on Broadway.
I hated it. I got like 10 minutes as into well it. As I'm Cats. Like, oh my God, I'm so bored.
I loved Cats.
And I love Kitty Cats, but those cats are boring.
But. Yep. But you'll watch Toothless play with a ball of string on a white background okay. for 4 hours straight. Anyway, but I was a huge fan of Les Mis. I'm still a huge fan, but through experiencing more musicals recently, it's definitely evolved.
Phantom. Love Never Dies.
Yeah, first time seeing Phantom was pretty awesome.
Love Never Dies, for those of you who don't know it, Love Never Dies is the sequel. Andrew Lloyd Webber's sequel.
I wasn't a huge fan of Love Never Dies. It didn't.
I liked it. I think it was an appropriate ending. I did not like the fact Christine ended up with Raoul. I thought it was the stupidest conclusion to that storyline ever. But
you know, I think of Phantom,
I agree with that, I didn't
numbers in it. I
get
can't
as much passion
think
and desperation from Love Never Dies as I did from Phantom.
But I will give it to this way: Family Opera does follow the book very well.
Oh yeah,
because it is based off a book.
You know how long it took me to realize that was Ewan McGregor? Yes.
Yes.
Many people have it posted as a picture of Jesus in their home.
Another great actor.
Okay. Love Moulin Rouge. Big fan.
A long time and not Jesus.
Yes, amazing.
So I really enjoyed Moulin Rouge. It's
Little Star Wars reference. So many people think that man is Jesus because of that picture from Star Wars. Yes, I know. And I laugh so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
No.
I've talked about there are certain actors. So in the theatrical
definitely.
World, there is a thing called the triple threat: sing, act, dance.
You know, I don't know about
the
dance
screen
bit,
and on TV
but,
and whatever.
Our
Broadway.
Favorite Patrick.
So if you can
Patrick
do all
Stewart.
Three, you are a triple threat. There are not a lot of triple threats in the movie world.
Ewan McGregor
is one.
I can't believe
Gerard
I forgot that.
Gerard Butler, a.k.a. the Phantom of Phantom of the Opera, the movie version.
I did not
AKA
know he did ballet.
A.k.a. King Leonidas. He can actually... Patrick Stewart can actually tap dance.
Of course it was Midsummer.
Yes.
Patrick Stewart does tap. And ballet.
Mm-hmm.
He did a little bit of ballet. I remember seeing a clip of him doing ballet in
Midsummer. I would love to see that.
In a theatrical version of Midsummer. Well, very long time ago.
Yes, he does.
I remember vaguely knowing that he does a little bit of ballet. He's not classically trained in it, but he does know some ballet. But yeah, he does tap. There is Gerard Butler. We have Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman actually holds a Tony. Neil Patrick Harris. Again, another Tony. Who else? I'm trying to think that we know.
Patrick Stewart.
Lin-Manuel, obviously. sing, act, dance, duh. Trying to think of other ones that I know can do it. There is Patrick. God, I can't remember his last name. He played Raul.
I thought you were saying Zac Efron should have a Tony.
No, his name's not Patrick Stewart.
George W. Bush.
His first name is Patrick. His last name is Patrick.
Yes. The answer is always Patrick Stewart.
Zac Efron, Triple Threat.
Yes.
You know who should have a Tony?
He should.
Do we know if Leonardo DiCaprio can sing?
No. Well, not yes. No. You know who also should have a Tony?
And he's a songwriter, Grant, too. He
Grant Gustin.
If he could, he would be a triple threat.
He's a phenomenal songwriter. He wrote, two of the music songs from the episode of The Flash. Nope.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking of for dance.
Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
He can't dance. Okay. Nope. I don't think what he did in
if JT
in
could
Titanic
act,
counts.
He'd be a triple threat. Yes. I can't think of a single role that I've enjoyed him in.
However,
love his music, but
Nicole Kidman
I can't think
counts.
Of any roles that I recognize as Justin Timberlake.
Christina Aguilera counts, even though she's technically already a singer.
I thought that was Ashton Kutcher.
Who's,
unless I'm thinking of...
Justin Timberlake can act.
Oh,
Justin
okay.
Timberlake?
I didn't see No Strings Attached then, so I'm going to have to go watch that now.
No Strings Attached.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw the Ashton Kutcher one when it was in theaters.
There were basically Ashton Kutcher and Justin Timberlake basically made the same movie the same year.
Yes, I thought we were talking about stage acting.
Just
though.
One of them. It's basically the same movie, same general premise. Just watch one of them.
But yeah, I think
JT has Mila
I
want to
thank all the listeners out there. We're coming up on time.
What else? Also, he's done a lot of voice acting. what else?
I'm oh, okay.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So final break. Alright, so we do have a little we're not quite we still have about 10 minutes.
I wanted to talk about the newsies.
So newsies, they have the Broadway version, which they recently did the 20th anniversary recording with Jeremy Jordan. Jeremy Jordan actually did one of the newer Broadway versions, I really love Jeremy Jordan in a lot of things. He's actually on Supergirls. He's a Broadway legend. He is phenomenal. If you haven't seen him, you need to. He's also been in The Last 7 Years, which is a great musical. It will crush your heart. It will make you cry. You will spend most of this musical crying.
Okay.
It's got Anna Kendrick in it. Andrew Kendrick, another triple threat. You will spend most of The Last 7 Years crying your eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry Springer, another good musical. Only really need to watch it once, though. It's not one of those you need to repeat it. So The Newsies is a really great one. I have never actually seen both versions, which is the 1994 version.
I am aware.
Both of them were directed by, both the stage version and the 1994 version were directed by Kenny Ortega. Kenny Ortega is a very renowned director and choreographer who is also very, very popular for another famous musical, which everybody pretty much well knows, and that is High School Musical. Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
I feel like I've watched
Kenny Ortega is very fantastic.
Like three times.
Not a lot of people know this, but a very, very famous
I'm pretty
actor
sure I've seen the Broadway version once and the film version twice with Geek Cup.
In The Newsies. Trying to remember his name. You've watched it with me. We watched the Broadway version.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Patrick Stewart?
So, I will give you guys a hint.
As a New Yorker, I'm a big fan.
And it was actually 1992. I was wrong, not 1994. Oh. What famous actor do you think got one of their first big breaks in this show? In the movie. No! I will give you a hint. I'm Batman.
There we go.
Yes. Oh, that narrows it down.
You guys give up? All
right. I'd be
Christian
making
shots Bale got
in the
hit
dark.
One of his first big breaks in The Newsies, no. In the movie version of The Newsies, playing Jack Kelly Cowboy. I will give it to him. He is fantastic in this show, but one of the things that kind of irritates me in watching him play in this movie is
during the World Will Know Daniel Radcliffe
song. Like when they're going, yeah. I don't know if we brought him up earlier, major musical numbers. He is just showing zero commitment to the music, to dancing.
I don't know why when you
he
say Christian
like,
Bale.
I am going through the fucking motions. You cannot stop me. I am doing it, but I am doing it with zero gusto. But
yes. Nope, we did not.
Really?
But yeah, Christian Bale got one of his first.
Did he have a major role?
I don't know if it was his first movie, but it was definitely one of his first. Let me see. I'm looking at his filmography. I'm trying to see if it was his first. Nope, it was Empire of the Sun. Yeah, that was his first movie.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's see. We're going all the way back.
Okay.
Ooh, I also saw Miss Saigon on Broadway.
His first movie was...
I don't remember that one.
He was Jim Hawkins in the TV movie of Treasure Island.
It was a school trip.
He was in a bunch of TV movies. But, no, they're wrong. His first big break was the Newsie. Well, no, he was Empire. He was Jim in Empire of the Sun. I don't know who that is. I've never even actually seen this movie. But the first, I think, memorable movie he was actually in was the Newsies. Because after that, he kind of started getting a lot of roles. Because after that, he was Thomas Berger in Swing Kiss, Royal Deceit. He was another one. He was Laurie in Little Women. He was Thomas, the voice of Thomas in Pocahontas. He was he got a lot. He started building up roles. He played Jesus in Mary, Mother of Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And then in 2000, he got his biggest role of all times, which is the one that he became famous for, which is Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. After that, it was just all uphill from there.
Yes. Excellent film.
So.
Definitely the Disney movie. Not saying that Empire of the Sun is a bad film.
But yeah, Newsies. It says Empire of the Sun was the one he got his first big break on, but I debate that. I really say that Newsies was probably the one that gave him the bigger break. Because Disney, Empire of the Sun, Disney movie, come on.
I can't.
Which one do you think is going to give you the bigger pull in the industry? No, it's not, but I'm just saying Disney's going to give you way more pull. One of the things I loved about the movie is really great. I don't knock it. I do like the Broadway version
more opportunity.
Better, to a certain degree. I miss Bill Pullman from the original, but I do like the Broadway version better.
The best president the United States ever had? What?
I don't know. Is Bill Pullman? I think he is. We shall see.
I think it exists.
Nope. Wrong Bill.
No fake news, Ori.
Bill Paxton, I thought, was dead. My bad. I know Bill Paxton's dead. No, for a fact, Bill Paxton's dead because of the memorial to him.
I seem to remember seeing some posts about a Spider-Man on ice and how it was a terrifying ordeal.
There is one.
You know what the world needs?
There was also a Batman musical. The world needs a Spider-Man musical. Our dearly and lovely Sam Heughan was a part of.
Really?
Is it Frozen already? Oh, okay.
Really?
What?
Oh yeah. There's also Aladdin the musical. Frozen the musical. Frozen the musical. Broadway. Lion King on Broadway.
Yeah.
You have the Heathers, the movie.
All of these
on Broadway.
Things are technically already musicals.
The Heathers,
but,
the musical on Broadway. You
Andrew
have Rent, which is still on Broadway.
Episodes from here on out.
Rent. Yep, it's still on Broadway. It's been going off and on Broadway for years. It did come off, but now it's back on.
Is it really?
We actually have
Excellent.
Reached the conclusion of our time this time. Alrighty then. Alright, without much further ado, you guys, this has been Casual Geeking. I'm Ori, and for Andrew and Geek Kev, we are out. Bye, you guys.
Later.